Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our subject, which way the nation? Proverbs 14 verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now this proverb is the basis of our thoughts. We love and we appreciate the blessings of being an American, living in a land of freedom, a freedom that has been provided and protected and defended at great cost to many, many people over many centuries. There have been those periods in our history that are regrettable, such as when the institution of slavery was existent, the abuses in our factories of people of all ages, the forced war for Southern independence, the various scandals and international wars. There have been other tragedies. And we see poverty in various pockets and all manner of social problems among the populace. And yet, all the world looks to this nation as one to be desired. Our national heritage has reflected our moral standards and the religious values that have been the taproot that have been in the Bible. The biblical standards are often incorporated into our laws. We do not have to build walls or string barbed wire to keep our people in this land, as do other people. Our sentries are not to prevent escape, but to protect. Many are so eager to come to our nation that they do so illegally. And while our land has not always been good, it still remains the best by far. America has been abundantly blessed materially, and with freedom and opportunity, and benefiting from the advancements in medicine and technology and food production. Generally speaking, the nation has been compassionate toward those who are not so fortunate. America continues to provide assistance to the underprivileged nations more than any other nation in the world. It is somewhat amazing in view of that fact that so many who even receive our gifts have such hatred for this country. But where is America now? And which way are we going? The reason for our greatness, friend, has been our moral and spiritual values. Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, we cannot claim to be a Christian nation, not in the biblical sense of the term Christian. But true New Testament faith has had the opportunity to flourish in this land of religious freedom, under the protection and rather than the suppression of civil government. Spiritual strength and respect for the divine has been our mark. Most nations and empires rot from within before they succumb to the pressures from without. What happens to America matters to me because it is my earthly home, the home of my foreparents and my descendants. And after the fall of the Roman Empire, there was an era called the Dark Ages. It was years upon years before the Enlightenment of the Renaissance broke through. I do not want my descendants to have to pass through two or three centuries of atheistic, modernistic, communistic, humanistic, materialistic barbarism and depravity before the sun rises again, do you? It is significant how God made promises and warnings to the kings of Israel, to Saul and David and Solomon, and even to such kings as Jeroboam. In essence, he told them if they would serve him, they would be blessed. But if they defied him, they would suffer their fall. Friend, that principle operated down through the history of nations. America is great because America has been good. And when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Consider for a moment ancient Israel. These principles worked just as God gave them. Under the judges and the kings, or whatever period of history you're going to consider, when the nation was not righteous, even though it was religious, the people of the nation suffered. When they forsook God and served something else, it led to their captivity and to their destruction as a nation. Do we have some reason to think that these principles shall somehow be rendered null and void for our land? Edward Gibbon cited several factors that contributed to the fall of the Roman Empire in his account called The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Number one, He said, a rapid increase in the divorce rate. Number two, higher and higher taxation. Number three, the craze for pleasure and sports and violence. Number four, huge military preparations for conquest. And number five, the decay of religious influence. Friend, should it cause us to concern ourselves about what is happening in our land? America today reels under the vicious impact of the so-called sexual revolution, which is nothing more than a disregard of God's moral standards. And such has produced an assault on the society, on home, on marriage, on family, on health, on youth, that has not seen its equal in our history. There is a disregard for marital vows and for morality and chastity and moral responsibility. Diseases due to immorality run rampant. We hear from the so-called experts all kind of proposed solutions except teaching people how and why to be moral. There are unwanted children, many of whom are being murdered by abortion. There is a rocketing rise in child abuse. And the nation labors under increasing tax burdens to support the illegitimate, the diseased, and the depraved. People have suffered shame and loss of self-respect. Over 50% of those of the black race are being born unto unwed parents. The rate of illegitimacy among whites has doubled in the past few years. The physical, mental, and emotional damage is creating an unstable and maniacal society. Crazies are just crawling out of the woodwork and terrorizing society. Crime continues to increase and criminals coddled. Pornography is a big business. Drugs and alcohol, they flow like the water down the Mississippi. One cannot fathom the depth and the seriousness of the self-imposed and destructive elements in our land today. And America reels under the impact of what is called progressive education. No, illiteracy is not being overcome. Even those who go to school emerge unable to cope with the bare necessities. Educators have grave concern, and well they should, because they've adopted this foolery of progressive education. Industries suffer, America lags. And while many jobs are being lost due to foreign competitions, many jobs are available that simply cannot be filled because of the lack of qualification. Some who leave high school cannot even fill out job applications. And while the so-called experts meddle with attitudes and personal adjustments, students do not even learn the facts. They don't know how to figure. They don't even know how to earn a living. The dominant influence of the humanist John Dewey has turned the educational system into a humanistic, brain-corrupting project. America continues to fall behind. Secular humanism is promoted by the state through the educational institutions. Humanists desire to make our society a totally secular one, removing all traces of faith in God, the very factor that has made America great. With the program called Values Clarification, humanists in education undermine and destroy biblical values. And there are those who are contending there is no right, there is no wrong, but everyone can simply do their own thing. The media, one of the worst enemies of freedom in America today, because of their promotion of the lies of humanism and evolution, they're contributing to depravity, especially in the sexual programming and the total disregard of things godly and right. We're told that atheism is the fastest growing religion in America. Just why the so-called smart people and the so-called experts cannot see what their fruit is producing is difficult to understand. Now, we get an indication of the mentality of the nation when we see the quality of entertainment. Real talent is minimized in favor of the gyrating, savage stupidity. There be those who will weld metal bedposts together with some wagon wheels, and some call it art. Others, stupidly, call it sculpture. It's nothing but junk. there has been such a sense of so-called self-expression that it has become nonsense. You splash some paint on a canvas, and you slide over it with your feet, and some fool will put it in a gallery. The so-called artist gets his picture on some national magazine. The loudest, most vulgar and depraved-looking, dope-headed person, he bellows out degenerate trash, and people call it noise, or call it music. It's nothing but noise. People thrill over the shootings, the fast cars, the adultery, the getting drunk, the violence, the blood, the profanity, and they call that entertainment. Friend, it's simply sewage from the minds of degenerates who produce it. When people rebel against divine law, it is but a small thing to violate human laws. Do you want an explanation for the increase of crime? Friend, it's due to the fact that Americans have been taught for two or three generations that they have come from animals, and now they're conducting themselves more often than not with the discipline of an animal. Top that with a heavy dose of the influence of lawmakers who wish to remove every vestige of morality and justice, blocking the punishment of the guilty, failing to protect the victim, why they make crime profitable. And these brain-sick judges, under the guise of civil liberty, have flooded the streets with criminals. Parole boards are dominated by uncaring fools. Even when criminals are jailed, there are not enough jails to keep them. Nor are they really punished, but entertained. They're fed. They're never made to work. Because some nut from the ACLU says that's slavery. There is no respect by authorities for the dignity of the human being. Laws are neither properly legislated nor enforced that deal with such things. You remember the judges and the lawyers probably learned the same garbage they dispense in the same schools alongside the criminals who dropped out. America has been guilty of setting standards aside that provide for social stability. Principles like honesty and truthfulness and justice and personal responsibility and work. Rather, it has promoted free food, public doles, permissive manners toward the crooks, and produced occupational cripples. The loss of respect for human dignity has never been more prevalent than in the murder of millions of unborn human beings every year at the expense of the taxpayer, and that through abortion. Thousands are slaughtered on the highways due to alcohol, but nothing of substance is really done to curb it. We're in our own state, and that's the state of Tennessee. Why people vote for the man to occupy the highest office in the land or in the state, and he's made his fortune promoting alcoholic beverages. It wouldn't be as bad if only the drinkers got killed and maimed one another. Yes, that would be bad enough. But the innocent people suffer from it. Even so-called Christians sometimes so stupidly give their support to such promoters of the most destructive drug problem in America, the consumption of the alcoholic beverage. And listen to the liberals wail and cry and march and demonstrate when one vicious, brutal, incorrigible murderer is executed. But where are their cries for those who killed and for others he would kill? Or for the hard-working, decent people who have to pay thousands upon thousands of dollars each year to care for these servants of hell, who have murdered, and therefore have lost their right to live. Again, we see and we hear the liberal clergymen join the ranks of the decadent elements of society and say there's really no such thing as sin. But Isaiah 5 and verse 20 tells us, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and put light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Sensual living destroys self-discipline, friend, and that destroys freedom. Freedom is not license. It cannot be sustained without self-discipline. Without self-discipline, there simply cannot be enough laws or enforcers to regulate the nation. We're killing the blessing of freedom by listening to and siding with the liberal and immoral propagandists among us, even religious leaders. What once was an occasional blight and blemish on the scene in America has become a dominant plague. Some may consider this just idle talk, but friend, in so doing, you only show yourself to be unwilling to consider the evidence. Your unwillingness contributes to the paving of the way for things to get worse and worse. Now, we do not wish to overdraw the conditions, but anyone who denies that there has not been a decline in the moral and spiritual values of the people of this land are simply ignorant or they're just downright dishonest. We have no major concern as a gospel preacher with matters that are purely political. But when leaders of our land make decisions based upon their horoscopes, and they turn to their psychics, and they use the premillennial theory to regulate their foreign policy, and they act that whatever makes money and gets votes is all right, and they themselves live such corrupt, immoral lives, friend, the nation is in trouble. And we are in deep trouble. People lie to get into office. They lie once they're in office. They lie to stay in office. Or do I fear the foreign nations with their possible A-bombs and their hatred of Christianity? Why, certainly I do. Do I fear economic disaster for the nation? Why, certainly anyone would. Do we fear nuclear war? Well, most certainly. But for America, I personally fear most the law of sowing and reaping, of which we read in the Scripture. Do you realize that even members of the Lord's Church, being more concerned with their political affiliation than God's truth, even lend their support to admitted humanists to lead our land? Oh, they constantly berate high officials that suggest respect for God. They vote for the most immoral. And when so-called Christian people act like that, what direction do you think the nation is going? Will America be the first nation to repeal the law of sowing and reaping? Well, I don't think so. And this disturbs me because of those who follow after in the coming generations. Now, while many propose all manner of efforts to make things better, they stoutly refuse to consider the real problem, which is moral and religious. And they are giving aid and comfort to those who want to root out all moral and religious influence from education and in all areas of national and personal life. A few years ago, such words as I have been speaking to you fell only from the lips of preachers who cared enough to tell the truth. Some are critical, of course, of telling the truth. But now and again, we hear some of these things even coming from others. Even from a few stable educators, from some lawyers and judges, even a president now and then. And while the Ten Commandments are still named in many state constitutions, who cares? While our coins hypocritically read, "In God we trust most in the coin." Religious leaders provide no guidance or solution. They are part of the problem, having adopted the modernistic, liberalistic, agnostic approach to most everything the Bible teaches. And let it be proposed that our young be taught the moral heritage of our land and the wail and the cry of the ACLU, which really means all crooks love us, and other similar groups of hell, oh, how loudly they shout and whine and cry. Friend, in America, we either repent or perish, and the signs of repentance are scarce. God said through Samuel to Saul in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king." In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I heal from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Daniel Webster once wrote, "If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering. But if we and our posterity neglect to the instructions and the authority of the Bible, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may well overwhelm us and bury us and our glory in profound obscurity." Abraham Lincoln once said, "Let the people know the truth, and the country is safe." He didn't always provide the truth, however. but we need to know God's truth. The goal of our enemy is to bury us by eliminating our laws that restrict obscenity. They call them censorship, you see. They wish to break down morality and stability of the home by the media propagating the sexual perversity with which the media is so replete already. They wish to promote homosexuality as an acceptable lifestyle. They seek to discredit the Bible and the family. They encourage easy divorce. They eliminate all religious expression from the schools and state functions. Are they making headway? You better know they are. And regardless of how the people of this nation consider themselves, it's becoming more and more apparent that our enemies consider us to be much like Sodom and Gomorrah. They consider us ripe for destruction, and with some justification. They know that morality and religious truth is the only prevention to our fall. That is why they work so hard to remove that barrier. God said that he would have saved Sodom with 10 righteous men. If Adam had found 9, and he needed, of course, one more, and you were the only one left to consider, would the city have been spared? Servants of hell seek America's fall because in the freedom of America, truth can still be proclaimed. It can still be distributed to the world. But enemies have taken giant steps in bringing destruction upon a nation that seems bent to go the way of the devil rather than to listen to the way of God. Friend, God has blessed America. Will he continue to do so? But we ask, if we persist in the way of recent past, why should God bless America? The most preservative and patriotic thing a person can do for our nation, or any other nation for that matter, is to be a Christian. Christians are the best citizens because they uphold the only hope, Jesus Christ, condemning sin and exalting righteousness. Shall we pay attention to Proverbs 14:34? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.